let's see. National Football Championship tomorrow. This is Tennessee country. Some Alabama fans, some Georgia fans. So who do we root for tomorrow? Wait a minute. We do have a Michigander in the crowd who is a big-time Michigan fan. And in honor of you, I am going to root for Michigan tomorrow night.
Go blue.
Amen. You too, huh? Yeah. Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Praise God. We are excited to get into the Word of God, and we're going to begin in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, beginning with verse number 35. Good to be with you. We've been out of town. We were here through Christmas. We were here, wasn't our Christmas special, then the Christmas Eve service? Those were good services, and I know y'all had good services. I was gone the next service, last Sunday, I guess, and missed a Wednesday night service, too. But I was down in Florida checking on my mother and working on things for her. But it's good to be back to Cleveland, Tennessee. There's no other place on the face of the world that I personally would rather be. Amen. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35, says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, the waves and the wind. But he was in, you know, if you know anything about boating, waves and winds are not necessarily your friend. A little bit of waves, a little bit of winds, but high winds and high waves, you don't like that. You know, even as a fisherman, if you ever cross the Chickamauga Dam or something, you just see little white caps out there. Well, they don't look very big, but when you see white caps when you're in a little bass boat or something, even though it's 18 foot, 21 foot, that's still big out there, and it's not pleasant and can be dangerous. And so again, verse number 37, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great, everybody say great again.
Great.
And there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? These few verses are filled with some important truths about how to overcome tests and trials where we face circumstances that contradict God's word or that contradict God's promises. Amen. We all face tests and trials from time to time. What makes a test and trial so difficult is because you're going through a problem, you're going through a difficulty. But I particularly want to point out this morning that you know what the word of God says, but the wind and waves in your particular story are say is not true. They contradict God's word. Amen. And so we all face, like I said, various kinds of tests and trials. The good news is that any evil test or trial that comes our way, now God may prove us, that's not an evil thing, but any kind of evil test or trial that comes our way to rob us of our covenant rights and covenant blessings cannot defeat us if we will simply believe God's word and stand on his promises. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so the main reason people who know the truth, now not everybody knows the truth, there are people that have never heard the truth. There are people that have heard the truth and they have rejected it. There are people that believe religious traditions and they think that's the truth, but it's not the truth at all. It's not the word of God. It's just men's ideas and traditions. There's people that don't know how to operate in faith and receive what rightfully belongs to them. But for people who do know the truth, that's you. Sometimes you know the truth. No, this isn't necessarily you, but the main reason people who know the truth are still defeated at times during a test or trial is because they focus their attention on the circumstances that contradict God's word. You cannot do that, because when you do that, you will inevitably get out of faith and get into fear and begin to doubt. But understand this, I want to get back to this point. We do, all of us, face tests and trials of various kinds from time to time. And you know, it's amazing to me that many times over the years, I mean many times, sometimes many times in a single month, people are often shocked and surprised and express disbelief and they're distressed and they're upset because they're facing some sort of test or trial. And they're like, why am I going through this? You know, 1 Peter 4:12 in the Amplified Bible says, "Beloved, do not be surprised or amazed or bewildered concerning the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you as though something strange or unusual is happening to you." Amen. We all face tests and trials. Amen. And people are often surprised by that and amazed by that and upset by that and distressed by that, especially if things just, you know, something comes up and so they have Pastor John pray for them, or they have us anoint them with oil, or they say, well, they get out their scriptures and say, this is what the Word of God says, and so they believe God and they trust God. But instead of things getting better, the winds and waves get higher and higher. Things get worse, and that always takes them back and shocks them that the devil would try to keep them from receiving what Jesus bought and paid for them. But that should not shock us. That should not upset us. Amen. We should not think that unusual. People especially seem to be taken back when all of a sudden they're dealing with some difficulty, some problem. Here it is in their physical health realm, and it's very serious, and all of a sudden out of the blue pops up a financial problem, and it just seems like problem on top of problem. It's like, why am I dealing with this? Why am I facing this? Well, that's just normal. Amen. But the good news is that no matter what comes suddenly, no matter what pops up, no matter how severe it is, we can always overcome any kind of trial that comes our way. Can you say amen? Amen. Notice something here in verse number 4. We pointed it out when we read the scripture. It says there was a great windstorm. And then after Jesus rebuked it, it says there was a great calm. The word great in the great windstorm and great calm is the same exact word in the Greek, and it's the word mega. There was a mega storm, but that mega storm, amen, was turned into a mega calm. Glory to God. How many of you like the mega calm in your life? Amen. Amen. But it's not always mega calm. Sometimes it's mega storm. But we can get through the mega storm and have the mega calm. One man put it this way concerning tests and trials in general. He said, "Welcome to the Christian life." I know this is not exciting, but welcome to the Christian life. He said, "I've often heard it preached that if you accept Jesus, a great peace will come into your life that cannot be taken from you. This is true in our spirit, but far from true in our natural life. Jesus, Paul, Peter, and other writers of the New Testament assure us that persecution and trials accompany the Christian life. But we are also told that we are not to be concerned, but to be of good cheer. Megastorms will be followed by mega calm, which will be followed by mega storms and mega calms. One man told me that he seemed to have one trial and storm, one after the other. I asked him what came between the problems and the storms. He told me, times of peace. I said, why don't you look at the times of peace between the storms instead of the storms between the peace? It all comes down to our perspective of life. There may be a temporary storm, but there is sunlight behind every storm. The sun will outlast the storms. Amen. Weeping may be endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's Psalms 35. Glory to God. Now listen, I personally, you know, I understand what this man is saying, but I personally don't want to apply to you that all there is to life is storm peace, storm peace, storm peace, storm peace. You just constantly have storms that you have to overcome. I don't want to imply that to you because life is not, doesn't have to be, and is not just one storm after the other. Now, let me put that thought aside for a second. But if you do have one storm right after the other, if you just hit with one problem right after the other, always, always, always keep in paramount in your mind that even though you're facing back-to-back storms, you can overcome all of them without fail. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph." You know, my team, the Georgia Bulldogs, it went through a remarkable stretch with two national championships, and then this year they were 13-1. And so they had won like 28 or 29 games in a row. But I tell people, well, forget the 29 games in a row. You have to understand that right now they've won 46 out of their last 48. That's a good run. That's been fun as a fan. But let me tell you something. As a Christian, you can win 100 out of 100 times. Now, you don't seem to be too convinced of that. As a Christian, you can win every battle. Because Jesus already won it for you. The victory's already assured. Glory to God. Amen. But understand, we don't have to just live in a continual state of a storm and then peace and a storm. If we are led by the Spirit, if we walk in the love of God, if we walk in the wisdom of God, and if we operate in faith, we can avoid some storms of life altogether. Thank God for that. I said, thank God for that. So we may go through long periods of time. There's been times when I faced just storm after storm after storm after just one right after the other. But there's also been lots of times in my life where I went through long periods of times without any mega storm in my life at all, except for worldly persecution, which Jesus said we would have. And make no mistake about it, that right here in the old U.S. of A., that there are people right now, maybe close to 50% of the population, that they think you are a nut. Because you believe this word right here. And they persecute you. And they call you a hater. And they say all kind of ugly things and believe all kind of bad things about you because you believe the Bible. So we always face, you know, worldly persecution. We understand that. We realize that. Amen. But, you know, we can go through long periods of times in our life where we don't face any particular test or trial or storm. Amen. Because, you know, we avoid them. We get around them. And our faith stops the storm from ever coming. But, and this is a big but. This is a big but. Listen to me carefully. You got to get this. No matter how much love you walk in, no matter how much faith you operate in, no matter how much wisdom you operate in, no matter how sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit of time, we all, from time to time, face various types of attacks of the enemy and storms of life. You can be the greatest faith person that ever lived since the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have raised 3 people from the dead last month, but you need to know this. Faith does not stop all the storms of life. It just overcomes them when they get there. Some people don't get that. I know, I'm telling you, people do not get that. From 50 years of experience almost, people do not get this. Amen. Faith does not stop every storm. Storms of life come to you, no matter how much faith you have, no matter how much love you have, no matter how much wisdom you walk in. But the simple truth of the matter is, so it's not going to stop every storm of life, but when they show up, it does overcome every single one of them. Amen. To say it another way, you know, in Mark 11, 23, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain represents a problem, a test or trial, a difficulty that you're facing. You know, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you can speak to mountains, but the mountain showed up. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if God didn't want you to remove it, then why did he tell you to remove it, that you could? No, you can move it, praise God. So to say it another way, faith will not necessarily prevent all mountains, but it will move them when they show up. So you got to understand that. Some people are confused. Some people are upset because they're going to the other side and a storm shows up. That's not unusual. Praise God, just deal with it. Amen, and don't get in fear and overcome the storm and go ahead and get to the other side. Amen? So how do we? This is what we'll begin talking about. How do we overcome the trials of life, the tests of life, the difficulties of life, typified in the Bible sometimes as storms that produce life-threatening winds and waves? Well, here in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40, you know, we read that story in verse number 41. Jesus said, let us cross to the other side. Jesus said, let us cross to the other side. All of them, all the disciples, let us go to the other side. Well, he didn't intend for them to go halfway and drown in the middle of some storm, did he? No, he fully intended for them to get to the other side. That was his command. Whatever God commands you to do, he enables you to do, he equips you to do, he gives you the ability to do. Whatever he promises you, you know, but between the time of when he makes the promise and fulfillment of the promise, there may be some storms that show up to try to prevent you from experiencing the promise, but he expects you to get to the other side and walk in the light of the promise. Can you say amen? In other words, you could say it this way: Jesus promised them they would safely make it to the other side, not just go halfway and be drowned in the storm. And God in His Word has told us what Jesus on the cross has already provided for us. Amen. He has told us what we can do in Christ. And He's told us what already belongs to us. Generally speaking, we call all of these things the promises of God. You know, some things technically are not promises. You know, by His stripes you were healed, or by His stripes you are healed. That's really not a promise. That's just a statement of fact. Amen. You were healed. You're already healed. But nonetheless, in a general sort of sense, everything that He's done for us, everything that we can do, everything that already belongs to us, everything that He has promised us, generally speaking, we call all of these things promises. And Bible scholars tell us there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Over 7,000. Amen. So these promises and statements of facts, excuse me, are rock solid guarantees and unequivocal commitments made to us and told to us by Almighty God Himself. Glory to God. Would you hand me that water right there? Caleb will get it, and you're all. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know His Word never fails? Not one promise has ever failed anybody. Not one word of God has ever failed to come to pass in anybody's life that would believe Him. Glory to God. Amen. Not one promise, not one benefit has ever been failed to be realized or even failed to come to pass for those who believe Him in faith. But you understand, of course, that all these promises are activated by faith. They're received by faith. They're enforced by faith. And must be stood on regardless of the wind and waves. Amen. Amen. Regardless of the adversity, regardless of the contradictory circumstances that say they are not true. Glory to God. You see, because sometimes you can look in the Word of God and you can find some promise, or you can find who you are in Christ, and it says in Christ you're forgiven, but you may not feel like you're forgiven. Well, what's true, the Word of God or your feelings? The Word of God. The Word of God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but it doesn't seem like you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What's true, what the Word of God says, are your feelings and emotions and what it seems like to you. The Word of God says by His stripes you're healed, but the doctor's report says you're sick. What's the truth? What the Word of God says. Now, what the doctor says is a natural fact, but you understand the truth always trumps natural facts and will change natural facts when believed. When believed. Amen. So in other words, if we don't operate in faith, then these promises won't be experienced in our everyday lives. So we must believe and say that we right now have what God says we have. Not I'm going to get it. That's not faith. That's hope. Faith says I have what God says I have. Right now, it's mine. Glory to God. I believe it. I believe I receive it. I take it by faith, and so it's mine. I am healed. Glory to God. What about that knot on your arm? I don't care about that knot on my arm. That's just a wind or wave, but the Word of God says I'm healed, so I say I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, and I act like I'm healed. Amen. Glory to God. Amen? So Jesus tells them to go to the other side, but then they ran into a great windstorm. Like I said in the Greek, that means a mega storm. There were fierce winds and large waves pounding against the boat. And it was serious. Everybody say it was serious. Serious. How do we know it was serious? Because they woke up Jesus, who was asleep right in the middle of the storm. They woke Him up and they said, Master, don't you care? We are perishing. Amen. And because, you know, as you read it again, it says, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Water getting into your boat is not a good thing. Yeah. Amen. And so they said, we're perishing. The Amplified Bible says, we're about to die. Well, that's clear enough, isn't it? Other translations say, we're drowning or we're about to drown. But Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Hallelujah. Amen. He expected to get to the other side. Amen. And here's what not to do in the middle of the storm. Amen. This is what the disciples did. Here's what not to do. Everybody say not to do. Number one, don't forget about all the promises. Now, but there's a reason you're doing that. Don't forget about the promises of God because your attention, their attention was focused on the wind and waves. See? So here's what not to do. Don't just forget about what God told you. Don't forget about the promises. Amen. Because your attention is focused on the giant. Because your attention is focused on the wind and waves. Number two, they got angry at Jesus and blamed him for not caring. Have you ever met a Christian that was mad at God and accused him of not caring? Well, I have lots of times. Why did he fail me? Why didn't he come through? Jesus, why are you failing us? Well, you know, Jesus was not failing them. They, in fact, did get to the other side, and they were going to get to the other side. But you see, in the middle of the storm, they said, you're failing us. You're letting us down. And they accused God of not caring for them. And then number three, they got into fear and doubt. That's what not to do. Don't forget the promises of God because your attention is focused on the wind and waves. Number two, don't get angry at Jesus and accuse him and blame him for not caring. And number three, don't get into doubt and fear. Verse number 40 says, but he said unto them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? So it's obviously they were operating in doubt and fear. Amen. Here's the problem. I want you to get this in a nutshell. They focus their attention on the wind and waves. Wind and waves represent the contradictory circumstances. Wind and waves represent your emotions, your feelings, what you can see that tell you that you do not have what God says you do not have, or that some promise of God is not going to come true in your life. The bad report that you get, the negative report that you get, what your checkbook screams at you, you know. The wind and waves, but they focused their attention on the wind and waves. In other words, they considered and looked at and focused their eyes and minds on their contradictory circumstances that told them they were not going to experience what Jesus had told them that they were going to experience. They were going to go to the other side. And this right here is the critical point. This is the make it or break it point to victory versus defeat. This is the crux of the matter right here. Amen. See, we should not get caught up with the wind and waves because, I want to ask you a question just to strike your thinking. Why should we not consider the wind and waves? Why shouldn't we not be so caught up in wind and waves? Because, here's the question, what do wind and waves have to do with the fulfilling of God's promise? What do winds and waves have to do with the fulfilling of God's promise in your life? Several people have said nothing, and you're right. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Winds and waves don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. They don't change a thing. Bad reports don't change a thing. People are always asking me to pray that they not get a bad report, and I'm always saying back to them, why don't you just believe that you, whether it's their finances or let's just say it's their health, why don't you just believe you're healed regardless of the bad report? Amen. Wind and waves don't change a thing. Amen. They don't matter. They don't have anything to do with God's word. The next diagnosis, the next test results don't change or affect God's word one iota, not one little bit. Woo, glory to God. So anything that comes to my mind, any kind of wind, any kind of wave, any kind of suggestion, any kind of thought, any kind of idea, any kind of poem that you read, any kind of book that you read, anything that suggests that I don't have what God says I have. I like the way Bob Yenian put it. He said this. He said, it's just the wind and waves that erupt between the shore of the promise given and the shore of the promise fulfilled. And don't have a thing in the world to do with anything. Can you say amen? Jesus rebuked the storm, and there was a great calm, same word as a great windstorm, there was a mega calm. How many of you know that's faith? We like that, don't you? He rebuked the storm went away, and all of a sudden there was nothing but peace. But let me tell you something. Being asleep on the pillow while the wind and waves were raging, that was great faith. just standing there and going, glory to God, the word of God's true in my life. Ooh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen, glory to God. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Had this unexpected bill show up, and hallelujah, I am super abundantly blessed. And instead of things getting better, here comes another wave crashing into the boat that all of a sudden, here's another unexpected bill, and here's another unexpected bill. And you just fluff up the pillow, so to speak, of God's word, God's promises, and you just rest on that. You just sleep on that while the winds and waves crash, because they don't have a thing in the world to do with God's word being true in your life and coming to pass in your life. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And that's the secret. That's the key. Faith rests on the promises of God. I said, faith, rest on. If you're not resting, you're not in faith. Amen. And so I can always have internal peace. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care how stormy it is out there. Praise God. I can always have peace on the inside because I know what the Word of God says. I told this story before, but I like it. They had a contest. You were to paint a picture, and the picture was entitled. The title of the picture was Peace. And, you know, they were going to give a big prize out to whoever won the contest. And so all people wrote all these beautiful pastoral scenes and pleasant pictures of you know, where everything was just very peaceful and very beautiful and very calm and very still and very soothing. But the one that won the prize? He showed a shoreline where there was a thunderstorm, and the winds and waves were crashing against the rocks. And I mean, it was lightning in the background, and the rain was coming, and the winds were crashing into to the waves. But there was a crevice of the rock, you know, the cleft. And inside that, there was a dove, and he was inside, protected and asleep while all that was going on. And that's what won the contest. That's how it is for you and I. Everything can be crashing all around us, but even though there's not peace on the outside, we've got peace on the inside because we know what God's Word says. And if we've got peace on the inside and believe what God's Word says and ignore the wind and waves, and not ignore them in the sense that, you know, we don't consider them. That's what it says about Abraham. It says Abraham did not consider. He considered not, amen, his body that was 100 years old. He did not consider. He considered the Word of God. Amen. And so faith rests on the promises of God, realizing that wind and waves and storms and trials and bad reports and good reports have nothing to do with the fulfillment of the promise. That's a great key to victory. And so learn to stand on the promises. That's what we have to do. Learn to stand in faith. Learn to stand on the promises and rest on the promises given without giving any undue attention, any undue notice to the wind and waves. In other words, don't focus your mind on the winds and waves, because that will lead you to fear and doubt every single time. I don't care how much you know of the Word of God. I don't care how much you've used your faith in the past. Again, I don't care if you raised 3 people from the dead last week. If you all of a sudden find yourself in a test or trial, then that's very real to you. Amen. Some kind of health challenge or whatever. And here it is staring you in the face. And you got all these bad reports and you don't feel good. And all these things are going on in your body. But the Word of God says, by His stripes you are healed. If you sit there and you look at that problem and you look at what the doctors are saying and you just focus on all that, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll know what the Word of God says, but you'll be overwhelmed by all of those symptoms and all of those negative reports, and you will end up in fear and doubt every single time. Amen. And so I learned a long, long, long time ago. Glory to God. I learned it from reading F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer. You cannot look two ways at one time. And that has served me well for over almost 50 years. You cannot look two ways at one time. So in other words, God's Word says, but your circumstances say, the wind and waves say, you're going under, your family is going under, your finances are going under, your physical health boat is going under, your mind is going under, your whatever it is. You have what God's Word says, and you have what your circumstances say. And sometimes those things contradict one another. But you can't look two ways at once. So in other words, if I look this way and I focus my attention on God's Word, then I'm not paying any attention to those wind and waves. I'm not looking at those wind and waves. I'm doing what the Word of God tells me to do in Proverbs 4. I'm attending to His Word. I'm inclining my ear to His sayings. I'm keeping His Word in the midst of my heart, and my faith just rises bigger and bigger and bigger. And what He says is so real to me. It's alive in my spirit as a living revelation, and I don't care what the wind and waves say. And because I really do believe what God's Word says, because I focused on what God's Word says, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then those things disappear and go away because I believe God's Word. But if you sit there and start researching everything out, and you know, you can look at, when it comes to your He Limited, you can look at Wikipedia all day long, and you can read 100 things and go to a medical doctor who has, you know, 9 years of training and 25 years of experience and go, oh, that don't mean anything. You got it all wrong in the first place, just naturally. But glory to God, I focus my attention. I don't look at those things. I can't look two ways at once. See, I found this out. It said Abraham considered not the circumstances. But you're going, how do I not consider the circumstances? I don't have any food in the house. I've been there. I got babies. Babies, there's no food in the house. There's water in the refrigerator. You understand? There might be a little bit of ketchup or a little bit of mustard. There's nothing else for Margaret to make. She can't whip up any, I don't know, you know, whatever. She used to make little whole cakes out of just water and flour. But we ain't got any more flour anymore. There's no food in the house. How do you not consider the circumstances? They're staring you right in the face. But that's what it said. Abraham said he considered not the circumstances. How do you not consider the circumstances? There's only one way. You consider Jesus. You consider what the Word of God says. You cannot ignoring your circumstances won't make them go away. Denying their reality won't make them go away. No, but what I'm going to do is I'm not going to look at them. I'm going to turn my attention onto the Word of God. I'm going to focus my attention on God's Word. And when I focus my attention on God's Word, then I'm not considering the circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How do you not consider the circumstances when they tell you that you've got stage 3 cancer? I've been there. And every report they give you is not a good report, it's a bad report. Got to a final point where they did a bone biopsy on me, and that was the first natural good report I had. They said, well, it's not in your bones. You know, you don't feel too good. You got a tumor in your body that's big. Right? I mean, I can walk around in it and you wouldn't notice it, but it's big. They were impressed with it. You've got a knot that showed up on, just woke up one morning a couple of days after this happened, a couple of weeks later after this happened, and there's a knot in your neck. And then when they run tests on you, they said, well, you've also got a tumor in your groin area. Couldn't feel it, couldn't see it, so I had 3 tumors in my body. And you know, people die of cancer. People die of this particular cancer. It's the 7th leading cause of death in America. How do you not consider the wind and waves? Only one way. You consider the Word of God and what it says. Hallelujah. Because wind and waves and circumstances that have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. God's Word trumps what the devil says every single time. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I learned a long, long time ago, and it served me well, that wind and waves don't change a thing. And that if I focus my attention on them, but if I focus my attention on them, they don't change a thing. But I learned if I focus my attention on them, they would overwhelm me every single time. And that the only way to not consider the circumstances was to consider God's Word. Amen. And I do that by keeping my thoughts and attention on God's Word. And the Bible is full of scriptures that just deal with that one subject. But I just wanted to bring it across this particular way this morning. Amen. There's an old song. It's kind of a kid's song, really, but I really like it. It says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. They're all blessings of His love divine. I like that. They're all blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. By his stripes, the book says I'm healed. Until the day of redemption, the book says I've been sealed. And according to that same book, to prosper and be in health is right in line. Every promise in the book is mine. You like that? Now that second verse, by his stripes I'm healed, is not necessarily in the kids song, but here's a group. I showed this one time a few years ago, but I like this so much. Let me show you a part of this, because I'll just show you a couple of minutes of it. Hang with us if you're online, because you'll be able to hear it. But this is a gospel group singing this song, and this is I really like the way they sing it. So listen to this. Let stand up together. Let it bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Every promise
Check it up
in
for
the
us.
Book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, all are blessing of his love divine. Every promise in the book, he is mine. Gail, say.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse,
every line, stripes, the book says, I'm healed. Until the day of redemption, the book says, I've been sealed. According to that same book, to prosper and be in health is right. Lift up your hand and say what the gill says.
Every promise
in the book
is mine.
Think about it. From Genesis all the way down to Revelation, every chapter, every line, they all.
Another promise for the Bible readers that says,
delight yourself in the Lord. You can have what's in your heart.
Anybody ever read that?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, guess what? He's got a brand new start.
I love that part that says this.
Knock, and the door shall be open. Seek, and ye shall find.
Everybody has their favorite promise. This one is mine, and it says,
on resurrection morning, when that last trumpet sounds, and all that have died in Christ, they begin to rise up from the ground. This applies to us. Then we that remain,
stretch out your hand and say with the gale, oh yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. They all
you, Lord. Somebody that's standing on God's promises, come on, stretch them out one more time. Say with the gill, say, oh yes, it's mine.
It goes on for another 10 minutes and you can go home, and all you have to do is look up every promise in the book is mine, and that'll immediately come up. And it goes on and on and on. It's really, really good. I wish I could sing like that. Say, every promise in the book is mine. Yes, it's mine. Every one of them. They're all blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book belongs to me. If you believe that, well, just give Him a little praise. Hallelujah. Give Him thanks for that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's how you walk along, and we appropriate the promises of God by faith. But a big important part of the faith message to me is how to overcome the tests and trials of life that come to all of us. And we do because of what the Word of God says. Because what do winds and waves have to do with it?
Nothing.
Say absolutely nothing. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody saved and know it? Lift both hands to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, in 2024, I'm going to experience more. I'm going to overcome every challenge. Considering God's Word, the waves and winds won't matter a bit to me. I'll walk in victory. I'll be a blessing to others. I'll be used by the Lord, and I'll be a walking blessing to everybody that comes in my path. And because you're a blessing to others, I promise you, you'll be blessed in return. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we love you. We love you. Good to see you. God bless you. Happy New Year. Amen. Looking forward to great things. Looking forward to great God working mightily and wonderfully in your life and in the life of the church here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.